Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the letter to the Hebrews, beginning with the 11th verse of chapter 5. Dear friends in Christ, everyone has a diet of some sort. Whatever you eat or don't eat, well, that is your diet. And there are many sorts of diets out there, all sorts of diets that help you lose weight. You can go on Weight Watchers or Slim Fast. You can try the Atkins diet or the Paleo diet or a gluten-free diet. We can go on and on. There's all kinds of diets. On the other side of the spectrum, there are athletes in training who will eat thousands upon thousands of calories because they're burning so much energy while they train, or they want to gain weight to be better at their sport. And then there are those who aren't in training, and they'll just eat everything and anything in sight. Everyone has a diet. The same can be said spiritual. Everyone has a spiritual diet, whether you read God's word a lot or little or somewhere in between. Everyone has a spiritual diet of some sort. So I ask you today, how is your spiritual diet going? Let's break it down into a few different categories. The first is what I'll call the no-food diet, or those who fast. Now, those who go a long periods of time without eating anything or hardly anything at all, and they somehow think that's good for their bodies. Those who are on a spiritual fast, they might call themselves Christians. They believe in Jesus, they say. They probably grew up in the church, and maybe they went to Sunday school and were even confirmed in the church. And that's it. They have gone weeks, months, maybe even years without stepping foot in a church and worshiping God or opening up their Bibles or feeding their soul at all with any word of God. They basically starve themselves spiritually, and they somehow think that their spiritual lives are okay. When my grandma died a few months ago this summer, we knew it was the beginning of the end when she didn't have the strength to eat very much, and when she stopped eating at all, we knew it was only a matter of time. When you don't eat, your body becomes weaker and weaker as it receives no nutrients. The same thing goes without eating any spiritual food. Whether you recognize it or not, your faith gets weaker and weaker. You open yourself up to temptation and doubts and confusion about God's word. No one would willingly refuse food and starve themselves to death. And yet, there are many who starve themselves spiritually, even though that has eternal ramifications. Then there are those who are on what I call the kid diet. Now, when someone is born, they crave nothing but milk. And as they get older, they might pick up some pureed vegetables and fruit and some solid food. And when you're a little kid, then you know what you like and you keep on eating. For instance, Micah and Noah, if they could, they would eat the same thing for lunch and dinner almost every day. Whether it's mac and cheese or chicken nuggets or grilled cheese, they have their staples, the basics, that they want to eat again and again. Those who are on the kid food spiritual diet like the basics. The bare bones, the fundamental teachings and doctrines of the church. And they cherish Bible stories like Noah's Ark or three men in the fiery furnace or Jesus walking on water. They may even recall a few teachings from confirmation class from many years ago. They go to worship on a somewhat regular basis. But they don't really have much of an interest in expanding their spiritual palate and moving beyond the basics of studying God's Word in Bible study or reading God's Word at home, they won't say this, but they think to themselves, you know, I'm an adult and I spent my time studying and learning God's Word and I know the basics, so what's the point? Now, don't get me wrong. It's great that they're in worship. It's important to know the fundamental doctrines of the church and the basic stories of scriptures. But there's more to God's Word than just the basics. Just as there's more to eating than milk. You don't just eat chicken nuggets and French fries for every meal. You've matured. So you want to mature spiritually as well. Then there's what I call the junk food diet. Now everyone loves junk food. Whether it's candy or pop or desserts or chips or what have you. Everyone loves junk food from time to time. But if you eat too much of it, it's not good for you. Are you on the spiritual junk food diet? Does most of your religion come from a blog that someone wrote in this basement? Does it come from some inspirational, pseudo-religious, quasi-spiritual post that someone put on Facebook? Or maybe your spiritual diet consists of watching televangelists on TV or listening to Family Life Radio or some other contemporary Christian station. Eating junk food tastes good. It often lifts your spirits, but often offers little nutritional value. The same thing with spiritual junk food. It may put a smile on your face and may make you feel good about yourselves and it may offer some comfort and encouragement in your lives, but little of it offers very good nutritional spiritual value. And eating too much of it may be detrimental to your faith. Then there's the fast food diet. No, it's food. It's fast. It's convenient. It fills you up. But again, it's not the best for you. You could eat better. Are you on the fast food spiritual diet? Those who are on the fast food spiritual diet know that it's important to study God's Word, to read God's Word, but they're pressed with time. They have so many things in their mind, so while they're in worship, maybe they've got half their mind on worship and half their mind on something else. Or maybe when you read your Bible at home, you're skimming through it or reading it as fast as you can and you retain some, but not a whole lot. No, it's good. It's beneficial. You get some spiritual nourishment out of it, but it could be better. There's really all sorts of spiritual diets we could partake of. What's wrong with all these spiritual diets that I've mentioned? When we don't eat the right thing, when we don't eat enough of the right thing, our body suffers. And when we don't eat enough of the right spiritual diet, then our faith suffers. When we aren't growing in our faith, whether we recognize it or not, our faith is growing weaker and weaker. Those who don't move past the elementary truths of God's Word eventually forget the basic teachings of Scripture. The writer to the Hebrews writes to his people and urges them to move past the fundamental teachings of Scripture, not because they're unimportant, not because of resurrection from the dead, not because of the coming of Christ or Judgment Day, not because those things are unimportant, but because they're just the foundation of faith. There's more to it. Directly before our text, the writer to the Hebrews is talking about Melchizedek, drawing a comparison between Christ and Melchizedek. And he wants to go on, but he can't because the people to whom he was writing did not know enough of Scripture to understand what he was saying. What about you? Do you know? Who's Melchizedek? What books of the Bible talk about Melchizedek? What is the point of comparison between Melchizedek and Christ? If you can't remember, maybe it's time to expand your spiritual diet. Time to move on from milk to solid food. There's one more diet I'd like to talk about. The eat anything and everything diet. Maybe it's at a buffet or some type of party. You love the food and there's so much of it that you load your plate up, you stuff your face, and then you probably go back for seconds. And you know the feeling after that. You don't feel well, you're bloated, maybe you have some indigestion, and you tell yourself, I'm never going to do that again. There's no such thing as overindulging on the Word of God. You can't eat too much of the gospel. There's no limit to the amount of nutrients that God's going to give you. There's no limit to the knowledge that God will give you as you read and study His Word on your own. No one feels guilty about studying God's Word. No one has ever felt sick to their stomach and telling themselves, I just can't stand God's Word anymore because I just read it so much lately. And why would you want to read the Bible? Why would you want to read the Word of God? Because that's what it is. The Word of God. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Scripture to write what they did. What's founded on the pages of Scripture is not words of men, thoughts or opinions of men that are open to criticism. These are the very words of God. Everything that God wants us to know about Himself, He reveals to us in His Word. Everything that we need to know for salvation, He gives to us readily available whenever we want to read it. Why would we not want to learn what our Savior wants us to know? Another reason? It's because the Holy Spirit is constantly working through that Word. There's no poison in this food. Every single time we eat of it, it will be a great benefit to us. No limits on the blessings that Christ gives to us through His Word. And what are those blessings? The first blessing is, well, an increased knowledge and understanding of His Word. The more we read and study His Word, the more we know of God's Word, obviously. When one portion of Scripture makes a reference to another portion of Scripture, we are better able to understand that, such as when the writer to the Hebrews makes the connection between Christ and Melchizedek. We're able to recall and understand. The more stories of God's Word you know, and the better you know them, the more you understand the teachings or doctrines of Scripture. Those teachings set a concrete example for us. So the more you know of one portion of Scripture, the more you know doctrine of Scripture. For instance, the more you know of Melchizedek and Christ, the better you are able to understand how Christ is our great high priest who sacrificed Himself on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. The more you know Scripture, the more you know of God's love and grace. You see, someone like Moses, who was a murderer, and yet God made him a leader of His people. You see David, who was an adulterer and tried to cover up that with murder, and yet God made him the greatest king of all of Israel and a descendant of Christ. You see Paul, who back when he was known as Saul, persecuted the church and threw Christians in jail, who Christ made a believer and apostle and who spread the gospel throughout the world. And if God forgave murderers and adulterers and persecutors of His church, He forgives you. He forgives each in every one of your sins, freely forgiving you just as He has freely forgiven others. The more we know God's Word, the more we see His grace, and we are comforted and encouraged by His love for us. And that leads us to one other reason why we study God's Word. Because it leads to eternal life. As we grow in knowledge, knowledge of God's Word, we grow in faith. Because the Holy Spirit works through that gospel. The Holy Spirit is working through that Word to give us faith, to strengthen and increase our faith. Whenever we hear or read or sing the gospel, the Holy Spirit is at work, and His gospel never returns to Him empty. So we know God's Word. We're able to face temptations and not doubt His love for us. And it is faith that receives all the blessings that Christ won for us. Christ. Everything Christ has done is revealed to us in His holy Word. It's He who lived a perfect life, always eating that good spiritual food. Remember when He was 12 years old, He was in the temple, and everyone was amazed at His knowledge of Scripture. He lived a perfect life, and yet He found Himself on a cross upon which He nailed our sins, taking our sins upon Himself and suffered the eternal punishment that our sins deserve. And given us His perfect and holy life so the Lord can look at us and declare us not guilty. And then 3 days later, He rose from the dead. Promises that all our bodies will be raised from the dead, and all who believe in Him will dwell and have a perfect life with Him in heaven forever. This message of free forgiveness and eternal life is found not in man's thoughts or opinions, but only on the pages of Scripture. They lead to eternal life. We don't need any more motivation. You may be thinking to yourself, well, I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but how do I go about and actually do it? How do I feast on good, solid, spiritual food? Today is a great start. It is here at worship that we don't just give praise and thanks to God, but here at worship, God gives to us. God is strengthening your faith here and now through the liturgy and words of Scripture, through the lessons, through the hymns, through the songs, through the sermon, through the prayers. The gospel is found, and the Holy Spirit is working through that gospel to strengthen your faith and increase your knowledge. But worship is somewhat limited. Worship is not set up so that we can grow greatly in our faith and knowledge of Him. Worship is meant so that we can praise and thank God. That's where Bible study comes in. At Bible study, we study God's Word together. We encourage each other in the faith. Applications are given. Insight is given. Connections are made that we may not have made personally on our own. We have two opportunities to do that at Holy Cross. Sundays at 9:15, Wednesday mornings at 10. But did you know that if you spent an hour in worship each week and then an hour in Bible study each week, 2 hours studying God's Word or in God's Word, that is just over 1% of your week. You spend more time than that getting physical food. That's why it's so important to read your Bibles at home. To sit down, find a quiet, peaceful time to rest and concentrate on God's Word. Get a Bible reading plan. You can ask me for one. And sit down with the pages of Scripture and learn. There's other resources too. all the resources to help you feed on good spiritual food. Countless devotional books are available. Of course, you don't want to go to Walmart and just pick out every book you see. Some of that's what we call spiritual junk food. Our own publishing house, NPH, is a great place to start. There's pamphlets on the back there. Look at it. Check them out online. Pick something out that interests you. You can't go wrong. Everyone has a diet. And as you grow and mature, your diet changes. Everyone has a spiritual diet. How's yours going? Make your spiritual diet a mature diet. Move past the basic and elementary truths to the solid food of God's holy word. For it is through that word that our Lord feeds our souls. And when we dine on that word, then Jesus Christ, the bread of life, will strengthen and increase our faith and lead us to that heavenly banquet in heaven forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 19 in the front part of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father.